pretty good while ago. A lot has changed since then. I see some very familiar faces, and it's a blessing seeing people, you know, still faithful. You know, that is, we travel to a bunch of different churches and see a bunch of different scenarios and hear a bunch of different stories, and something that is, you know, not a common trend in churches these days is people just remaining faithful to the end. So it's good to see, you know, some of you that are, you know, hanging in there and holding on to what the Lord's doing here in this work here. And it's, you know, you go away, and, you know, I went to Bible school. I moved to Pensacola back in 2022, and like Brother Randy said, he let me come and cut my teeth here, you know, one morning and flip and flop around like a fish out of a live well and, you know, try to call it preaching, and I appreciate that, and I hope it'll be a little bit better this morning. If you would, take your Bible and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Psalms, chapter 1. I just want to talk to you a little bit this morning about a biblically blessed man. And, of course, this goes to ladies as well. But, you know, something, whenever you look out, it's easy to be like Asa over there. I believe it's Psalm 78 or 76. You know, he talks about, he sees the, you know, the wicked. He sees things that people are doing, and it seems like they're blessed with all this great stuff. And he said, then I went into the temple of the Lord and I understood their end. Well, what that tells me is that material things doesn't mean somebody is blessed. You know, somebody having a 21-foot Ranger bass boat doesn't mean they're blessed. I mean, in my opinion, it does. But, you know, to the rest of the world, that may not mean a whole bunch. You know, I'm over here like, I've only got a 19-foot Ranger. You know, I want a 21-foot one. You know, I want the newest one they got. But that's my flesh. And, you know, sometimes I do like to satisfy my flesh. But we're not talking about that this morning, though. We're talking about a biblical definition of somebody that is blessed. You know, that's, you know, Solomon, he went out into the world. You know, that was the wisest man that ever lived besides our Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever he came back, he said, it's all vanity. And you see, what's vanity? The things of the world. You know, the material things that people chase after, the money that people chase after, the lust that they try to fill and desire, it's all vanity. And, you know, you look at somebody and, you know, you may, you know, be riding around one day and you see a little house up on a hill and, you know, a little old lady's up there reading her Bible, and you may not think much about it. And, you know, if you think, like, you know, that's where a blessed person is. You know, somebody that is saved, somebody who loves the Lord, somebody that knows the Lord. You know, there is a lot of people around the world that still haven't heard the name Jesus Christ. A lot of people. That's why we send out missionaries. That's why the Bible says, go unto the uttermost parts of the world. And do what? And preach Jesus. Amen. You know, here in the South and in Alabama in general, and all over the state of Florida where we're from, and anywhere you go, this summer alone, we've been preaching up in Tennessee and in Kentucky, and you know, there's a church on every single corner. It seems like, you know, the gospel's there. You know, the chance to know the Lord Jesus Christ is ever present, but it's not like that everywhere. You know, we support missionaries that have to have underground church. You know, they go to China or Thailand, something like that. You know, and in 20 years, they may only have six people get saved, six converts, and two or three people that can attend underground church. We don't have that here. We have the ability. We have the. We still have the liberty to gather in a local church as the body of Christ and to hear thus saith the Lord. And that's a blessing. In Psalms chapter 1 here, it gives us, the first three verses talks about a blessed man and some of the attributes of this blessed man. And then verses 4, 5, and 6 talks about the ungodly. So it splits it right down the middle. We'll just go ahead and you can say that you read a whole chapter of your Bible this morning. And I read kind of slow, so it might actually take about 45 seconds, but you at least get to knock out a chapter for the day. Verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So we see, the first part of this psalm here, it breaks it down to what the Lord is calling a blessed man. And none of it has to do with materials that he have. None of it has to do with possessions that he have. But you see, a blessed man isn't always about something that you have or something that you do. Sometimes the Lord's definition of a blessed man is based off something that you don't do, something that you don't partake in, something that you don't mess with, something that you don't affiliate yourself with. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not. See, that's blessed for not doing something. That's blessed for not affiliating yourself and associating yourself with this right here, the counsel of the ungodly. It says he doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. You say, well, why is that important? Because that's how you get corrupted. You know, the children of Israel, whenever the Lord called them out of the land of Egypt in Exodus, whenever he is bringing them out, what was something that he always told Moses to do? It was to separate. Hey, don't get mixed in with the Philistines. Don't get mixed in with the Chaldeans. Don't get mixed in with Amalek. Don't get mixed in with these tribes. You see, the Lord, he is a God of separation. And I know that it is like the, you know, your scripture out there says this morning, it is good for brethren to dwell in unity. Yes, it is. That is a very good thing for like-minded individuals to gather on a Sunday morning to try to get something from the preaching of the Word of God, to try to bring the Lord honor and glory. But as Christians, we should be separated from the rest of this world. And what I mean by that is not that you can't walk outside your door on a Monday morning. No, you have to live in the real world. I'm not trying to keep you from going to Dollar General when you need a jug of sweet tea. That's a necessity. That's we have to. We have to go get that stuff. We can't just completely be isolated from the rest of the world. But see, there's a difference in being in the world and of the world. There's a difference. There's a different spirit that you get from certain people out there in the world. You know, sometimes you can get around somebody and say, I really don't know them, but I just like them. You know, have you ever met people that, you know, you really haven't talked too much or anything like that, and then you get a good vibe off of them, you know, and you can tell, like, there's something about them. I believe they're a Christian. There's a guy I met back in February, pastors a church up in Kentucky, and within 2 minutes of talking to him, I didn't even know his last name, but I'm like, I like this guy. You say, what is it? It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit that attracts your saved spirit to that. You go out in the rest of the world, and sometimes it feels like you walk down the street, it feels like that you just walk through a garbage can, and the street may be clean. But the spirit that you get off people. We were in Nashville, I believe it was last October. We were out there, Luke was with us. We were out there street preaching and passing out gospel tracts. And that place is about as wicked as the pits of hell out there. It is a very wicked environment. And you know, you can just feel it. You can feel it in the air. I'm serious, you can feel it. The bad spirits that are around there, you see, well, what's important about that? Because you're a blessed man for not walking in it, for not walking in its counsel, for not, you see, you start out walking with them, and then next thing you know, you're standing with them, and then by the end of the verse, you're sitting with them. It's an important thing. Separation. What did God do whenever he created light? In Genesis chapter 1, he said He called the light day and he called the darkness night, and he separated them. We wouldn't have one without the other, right? there's a difference. You can't tell me there's not a difference between 12 noon and 12 a.m. There's a difference. There's a difference out there. And there's a difference between a blessed man and then, like that we read here in verse 4, it says the young godly. There's a difference. And according to the Lord, it's this right here is just simply off something that you do not do. You see in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, let's look at it right quick. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. It's a simple question here. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? That's a pretty simple thing to understand right there. I can understand that. I didn't have to go to no Greek text to understand that. I didn't even have to go to Bible school to understand that. Simple question, can two walk together except they be agreed? No. You can't do it. If you do, you'll be miserable. You ever seen a husband and a wife that just absolutely hate each other? I'm being serious now. You know, you may laugh at it and look at them fighting and stuff, but they can't walk together. They're not agreed. It's a miserable thing to see. And the Lord, He doesn't want you associating yourself with the cares of this world and what this world is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, He says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. See, this is just being blessed for something that you simply do not do. And look at Psalms chapter 128. Psalms chapter 128. We'll read another chapter. We'll knock out two chapters in one morning. Six verses. All right, Psalms chapter 128 and verse 1. It says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, and look at this, that walketh in His ways. Say, what ways? The Lord's ways. The Lord's path. The path that the Lord has set for you to do. That's a promise. It says, blessed is everyone. That's not going to leave you out. If you walk in the ways of the Lord, if you walk the path that the Lord sets out for a Christian to walk, that's a promise right there. Blessed. It says, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about the table. Notice this right here. It says, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. You know what that is, that fear of the Lord there, that's a respect. And it is a fear of His judgment, you know, that the Lord whom He loveth, He chasteneth. But it's a respect. You see, I love the Lord. So I don't want to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I want to walk in His way. Why? Because biblically, I'm trying to be a blessed man. One thing that I want to be, a desire that I have, I don't have much here on this earth. I got a King James Bible, a good wife, and a year-old Border Collie that drives me nuts. That's a dog, Border Collie. But I've got so much because I've got this. And this is my road map. You see, the way that I know to walk in the way of the Lord and the fear of the Lord is because of this book. We'll read about it here in the second verse in Psalms chapter 1, but you're blessed because of this. You see, none of us would be here this morning if it wasn't for a Bible. None of us. See, we wouldn't know about Jesus Christ. We wouldn't know about Him dying on the cross for our sins. We wouldn't know that He said that whosoever. We wouldn't know that. We wouldn't know about John 3:16 if we didn't have a Bible. But we've got one. We just got to do something with it. Look back at Psalms chapter 1. We'll get into verse 2. Psalms chapter 1. We just looked at a man that is blessed for something that he doesn't do. Now we're about to look at something that he's blessed for doing. says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." You say, what's your delight? It's something that you love, right? If you delight something, you're going to love it. You know, I delight in my wife. You don't know why? Because I love her. I love being around her. I love being with her. I love talking to her. I love walking with her. I love going on dates. I delight myself in her. A blessed man delights himself in the law of the Lord. It says, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, whenever I was a kid, my dad, he would tell me to read 3 chapters of my Bible a day. He didn't necessarily care when I read it. It was just before I go to bed at night, he wanted to make sure that I had read 3 chapters of my Bible a day. You know, I'm not even going to challenge people with that anymore. I'm just going to say, if you want to be blessed, just if you have trouble reading your Bible, and for some reason, Christians, we do, right? The flesh never wants to read the Bible. We can watch 2 hours of Netflix and be awake, and then read 1 psalm and fall asleep. It's the truth. If I ever want to get a good night's rest, all I got to do is start reading out of the Bible. I'll fall right asleep every time, sitting up in bed. You say, is it boring? No, there's a spiritual warfare happening. Ephesians chapter 6, there's a spiritual battle that's happening. It says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, the flesh, that's the lost side of you. That's the side of you that isn't saved. That's the side of you that doesn't want anything to do with this book. But it says that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. You want to see your life changed? Read a chapter of your Bible in the morning, first thing, whenever you get up, before you do anything else. Read 1 chapter. And then at night, before you go to bed, just read 1 more chapter. 2 chapters a day. It won't take no less than 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes at night. But you know what you'll find yourself doing? You'll come to delight yourself in it. You see, so many times I've went to my Bible in the mornings and I've read something and say, God, I need help to get through today. And I've read a chapter or 2 chapters, whatever it might have been that morning, however much time I had, and I've got in it. And what I faced that day, I got to see it from the Scripture first. I'm not talking about some prophecy of telling me that I'm going to go through something, but telling me how to get through something, giving me what I need. And at night, oftentimes I've read it and I've had the peace of God come in my room. You say what? From delighting myself in the law of the Lord. There's nothing better than that. Delighting yourself in it, falling in love with it, reading it every morning and every night. You know, because if you start out just with 1 in the morning or 1 at night, if you're just getting into reading your Bible or whatever it may be, you'll find yourself, okay, I believe I've got time to read 2 chapters this morning. I believe I've got time to read 2 chapters tonight. You know what you'll find yourself doing? You'll find yourself just reading it more and more. Say, why? Because I want to be blessed. Not in the sight of men. Man can mock all they want. I've learned to just accept it. And I don't care what man thinks. There are some men that I care about their opinion. I care about my pastor's opinion of me. I do. I care about my dad's opinion of me. I do. I care about my father-in-law's opinion. But when it comes to just the regular, ordinary man, phooey. What does God say? What does this book say? Well, this book says that I'm blessed if I don't do something that is walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And it says I'm blessed if I do something. So read it. The Bible says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Let's see here. I mean, no joke, I've probably got 40 different references on delighting yourself in the law of the Lord written down up here this morning. We're not going to turn to all of them because we would never get done, but we'll look at a couple. Look at Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7, we'll start in verse 1. It says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. You see, this book here is supposed to be the apple of your eye. You say, what's that? That's the desire of your heart. It goes back to what you delight in. It goes back to something that you love. You see, it does something for you. And the rest of this chapter here, it goes through about what it keeps you out of. Keeps you out of sin. Keeps you out of the devil's snares. You know what this Bible is? It's called a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, I go hunting an awful lot, and I carry a big light in my backpack, the blood trail one, if I do shoot one that evening or whatever, but typically walking in and out, I don't use the brightest of lights. You say, why? Because I don't want the deer seeing where I'm at. So I use a dull headlamp, and usually I'll put it on red or green or something like that, but you know, a lamp at night, it's only going to give you just a radius around you. But you know, if that Word of God, it's called a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, if you've got the lamp around you and you read it, and you read this lamp that the Lord has got for you in his King James Bible, you look out 50 years ahead, you say, I don't know what's going to happen, but I've got a lamp right here. And I can see, all right, I've got enough light to step today. You get back in it that night. Oh, there's another step I can take. You get back in it the next morning, that lamp, it's around you right here, and say, oh, let me dodge that. I don't want to mess with that. Say, all right, there's where I need to step. Word, it's a lamp in our feet. It's a light unto our path. I know we get the kids to quote that all throughout Vacation Bible School, but it needs to be applied in everybody's life. This book, it gives you just enough for your next step. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. The Lord knows what you need before that you even know you need it. You see, that's the crazy thing about it, is that he knows exactly what we need and that we don't go to him for it. You see, something I like to do whenever I read the Bible, and Psalms 119, it says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. There's wondrous things in here. And I'm not talking about just the deep secret things that you read in Daniel and Revelation. It is good to know that as a Christian. You should grow and understand those prophecies and everything like that and stuff on the end times. But for right now, delight yourself in it. Fall in love with what the Lord will give you. Look at Psalms 119 right quick. We'll start in verse 1, Psalms 119. This entire chapter here, the longest chapter in the Bible, is written based off of the Word of God and glorifying it, magnifying it, and speaking of the importance of it. This whole chapter is like that. Psalms 119, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Well, we looked at that in Psalms 1:1, right? The walk. Say, what are you supposed to walk in? The law of the Lord. What's the law of the Lord? It's this. Each step is to be measured by this for each and every single day. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. See, you're blessed for keeping it. You're blessed for keeping his testimonies. And you're blessed for seeking him with the whole heart. You know, the heart, it's a strange thing in man. The heart, the Bible calls it, says it's desperately wicked and deceitful above all measure. That's the heart. You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You can tell an awful lot about a person by the way they talk. Now, I'm not meaning talking slow and everything like that, like we do. I mean, is their talk clean? You can tell who you need to be around. they're going to, if you want to be around the one that seeks him with the whole heart, you want to know how Daniel in Daniel chapter 1, back in 606 BC, whenever Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon came in and captured them there, it says that Daniel purposed in his heart. You know why we have the book of Daniel? Because a teenage boy purposed in his heart and said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go with the king of Babylon. He can throw me in a fiery furnace if he wants to. I'm sticking with the word of the Lord. Look at verse 3. It says, they also do no iniquity. Look, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You know, I made a mark in my Bible right there, and I drew an arrow, and I just wrote, stay in the book. Why? Because I'm a young man, and I want my way to be clean. This doesn't just go to young men here. This isn't just to young men. This is to everybody in here. You want to cleanse your way? Take heed to what? The word. The Bible. It's to be your number one source. And you're blessed if you have it in your presence already. I mean, even if you don't read it, you're just blessed for having it. But if you want to be blessed, according to God, biblically blessed, there's something you got to do with it. Verse 10, it says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know, a verse that's good to memorize, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. You want a good prayer life? Pray that prayer every morning and every night before you go to bed. Say, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. See, David knew the importance of the word. David knew the importance of getting away from the word and what would happen to it. Whenever David, whenever he sinned with Bathsheba over there in 2 Samuel, it said it was a time where kings go out to battle, and David didn't go out to battle. You see, David had not been inquiring from the word of the Lord. You see, if I stay in that book, it keeps my mind sharp. You say, like on all the spiritual deep stuff? No, on sin. On my flesh, whenever my flesh says, hey, let's go do this, and I say, no, cut it out, stupid. I'll tell myself, no. No, we're not doing that. No. Whenever that alarm clock goes off, and often it does, and I hit the snooze. When I get up in the book, the Lord says, hey, if you would have got up 10 minutes earlier, you could have got something else. You got to delight yourself in it. What's your delight this morning? There's nothing wrong with having other delights. We were talking, Brother Scott and I and Luke were talking this morning about there's something about hunting. And just whenever everything begins to wake up, you know, on a cool, frosty morning, and you start seeing that sky starting to crack just a little bit, and that frosty field starts sparkling, and you're... The whippoorwill wakes up first, and then... You hear that mourning dove wakes up, and then hopefully you hear... You know, a buck grunting coming to you. That's what you want to hear, or you want to hear, no! You know, at turkey gobble and say, oh yeah, I'm a blessed man this morning.
Amen.
Amen. See, there's nothing wrong with having delights in other stuff. I delight in bass fishing. I do. Down there in Pensacola, I delight in catching redfish. I love it. I just can't let it get over this love. I can't let it be my delight more than this book. You see, no deer can do for me what this book has done. Have I went to the woods and hunted when I've been in dark times and needing help? Absolutely. But you know what's helped me? This book. This book is what will help you. This book is what will get you through tomorrow. See, the Bible says that as thy days, so shall thy strength be. You see, I don't have enough strength to get through tomorrow. But I will when tomorrow comes. I have the strength to get through today because of this. Because I read this morning. And I read and the Lord said, you're going to need this today. Okay. I'll take it. Psalms 119. Where were we? I think we were... I think that was it, actually. Look at verse 15. It says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Notice delight is coming up an awful lot when it deals with the word of the Lord. He's trying to get the point across to you. I'm trying to get the point across to you. You got to delight yourself in it. Says, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. This is that I told you I pray this all the time. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And this Psalms 119 here, it is just, littered from top to bottom with stuff on the word. Verse 50, it says, this is my comfort and mine affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. You know, that quicken there, that means made alive. That means, you know, the Bible talks about that all the way through there and being quickened. That is life coming to it. How often have I been down and I think there's just no way out? I think I'm not going to get victory over this. I think I'm too far down. And then I go to the Word of the Lord and I read it. And it quickens me. It'll quicken you. You know how I can say it'll quicken you? Because it's quickened me. It's changed my life. It'll change your life. The best thing I ever did was delight myself in the law of the Lord after salvation and fall in love with it. That's how you'll be biblically blessed. Back to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You say, what's that? That's the man that he didn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He didn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. And he delights himself in the law of the Lord. You see, the Bible talks about it. There's certain different occasions. One man, whenever Jesus Christ gave him his sight, he said he sees men as trees walking. Men are likened to trees. There's different kinds of trees that mean different kinds of things. You can't tell me there's not a difference in a loblolly pine and a red oak. There's a big difference. Deer like one and they don't like the other. There's a difference in trees. Men are like trees. There's differences in men. Some of them are tall and strong, and then until the wind comes. You know what that oak does whenever the wind comes through that holler and it comes ripping through there? Oh, it stands tall and strong, but it has a breaking point. There's a point where it's going to snap. Same thing with a pine tree. That pine will bend and bend and bend and bend till finally it just snaps. You know a tree that really doesn't, though? Probably the ugliest tree I've ever seen, a palm tree. I hate those things. They're everywhere in Pensacola. I hate them. They're ugly. But something about a palm tree is those hurricanes will push them over, and they'll bend all the way down to the sand, and they are, just the top of it is just buried in the sand. Give that thing some time. Righteous man falls 7 times, rises up again. You know what that palm tree will do? It'll stand back up. I don't like palm trees, but I want to be like one. See, what do you mean? I don't want to break when the winds come. You know, this tree here, it says it's planted by the rivers of water. What kind of tree is stronger? The tree on the top of a mountain that grows in all the rocks, or a tree that grows by the rivers of water? Its roots are stronger. It has more strength. You see that water, it brings life. You know the water of the Word here? It'll bring life to your root system. It'll help you to grow deep. It'll help you to grow strong in the ground. And not only that, this tree here, it brings forth fruit. You know what we're supposed to do as Christians? We're supposed to bring forth fruit to the Lord. Biblically, we are. We're supposed to bring forth fruit. There's coming a day, it says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Say, what's that? That's a judgment seat of Christ. And whenever we get there, it says every man's work should be put in the furnace to see if it is gold, silver, or precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. Everybody's works is going in. Everybody's. There's six options it can come out as. Gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. I don't want it to be those latter three. I don't want to get up to the Lord and go through the judgment after He's saved my soul from hell, after He's given me a Bible, after He's given me a good wife, after He's given me a good church, after He's been so good to me. I don't want to get up there and give Him an ashtray. I want to give Him fruit. You say, what do you mean? I want to be a biblically blessed man whenever that day comes. And the only way you're going to be like this tree here, planted by the rivers of water, and bring forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You're going to have to be biblically blessed. There's some things that you're going to have to not do, and there's something you're going to have to do. And that's delight yourself in the law of the Lord. All right? So I guess we can take a break there then. It's 10 till. So.